welcoming Rich Lenkoff, attorney Rich Lenkoff, capital member Downey and Lenkoff, and co-host of Legal Face Off on WGNRadio.com. Welcome back, Rich. Good to talk to you.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. So, I'm looking at this Mark Sanchez case in Indianapolis, and can you fill me in on exactly the chronological order of these things? Because it seems to me like both parties involved are injured.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Sanchez, we know now that he was involved in this altercation that he allegedly started late Saturday night, or early Saturday morning, I guess, late Friday in Indianapolis. He was out, and he got into this altercation with a driver who was on the job, and I guess there was some dispute about parking. I'm not sure why Mark Sanchez is worried about parking, you know, in downtown Indianapolis. Maybe he has a side hustle as a LA guy or something. But according to the police reports, he was upset with the way this guy parked his truck and got into an altercation with him, confronted him. And the driver first pepper sprayed Sanchez. Sanchez, of course, your listeners, is a former quarterback, not just for the Jets, but played for the Bears for a little while.
Yep.
But most well known as taking the Jets to the eve of the Super Bowl. He was scheduled to do the game for Fox the next day, and was pepper sprayed by this guy, and still that didn't stop him. So he came to the guy again, and the driver, the alleged victim, stabbed Mark Sanchez a couple times. And we see this video of Mark Sanchez stumbling down the streets with a bloody belly. And it later was revealed that the driver was really roughed up. He had many bruises and, you know, was cut also. And Mark Sanchez was charged initially with a misdemeanor, now with a felony, a fairly serious charge. And also he and Fox Sports, I should say, have also been sued civilly very quickly by the driver and his family. So that's where we are right now.
Yeah, and the report that I saw in the paper, the article, said that alcohol, at least allegedly, had part of this, that Sanchez allegedly smelled of alcohol during this entire incident. But the thing is, okay, so Sanchez is ticked off that this guy is parking whatever he's doing. So Sanchez gets out of his car, allegedly, and approaches this guy. This guy responds by pepper spraying him. So it doesn't seem to me out of the realm of possibility that would incite, maybe there's the too strong a term, but motivate Sanchez to retaliate in some manner. And then the guy in the truck, as I understand it, stabs Sanchez. Right?
Yes. I think what you're saying is that perhaps his response was disproportionate to the threat. But this driver was, I think, 69 years old.
Yeah.
Mark Sanchez is what, maybe 40? He's 6'2".
Oh, no.
232. Yep. So, I mean, you're right to raise the question. The legal standard would be whether the driver felt that his life was, or even not his life, but even his, you know, safety was in threat, and whether his response was proportionate to what he perceived as a threat. I mean, he said in his statement that he thought that Mark Sanchez was going to kill him, especially since he didn't stop after being pepper sprayed. But you're right. Ultimately, the question is whether it was reasonable to stab him to stop him from coming after him. The police apparently felt so because, you know, they only charged Sanchez, and they charged him with an upgraded charge of a felony. That doesn't mean that that's what a jury would ultimately decide. We know that police could charge one thing, and you know, that's just a charge. But, yeah, I think you're right. The question is whether that was a proportional response to what was happening on the ground.
I'm not commenting on anybody's guilt or innocence. I'm just observing that both parties involved in this came away with injuries, stabbing wounds. That's pretty serious. I think pepper spray is not on the same level as stabbing wounds, but I don't know. But I'm sure more will be.
And if you look at, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
The picture of the victim in the hospital. What is really striking is that he's got a really deep gash. I mean, across his whole cheek. So somehow, even though he was the stabber, mm-hmm. he also got stabbed. So maybe Sanchez is, you know, also, in addition to being a quarterback, like a ninja or something, and took the knife away. But apparently he also, I mean, the victim got stabbed also. So I think you're right. There's some more digging to be done, some more investigation.
And I'm guessing that no party involved or attorneys for either party has made any kind of statement yet.
Well, no, all we've heard from the Sanchez family is that, you know, he's recovering, and we have heard from the attorneys for the victim / plaintiff, the civil plaintiff, mm-hmm. and they've been very clear in saying we think that there's liability here. Of course, Sanchez and his employer should have been, you know, should not have done what they did, and his employer, Fox Sports, should have been more cognizant of, you know, keeping him under control. And, you know, it just proves that there's really nothing to do in Indianapolis after after like 8 o'clock. So it proves something we in Chicago have known for a long time, that Indianapolis is a super boring city.
And
by the way, Sanchez wasn't in a car. He was doing wind. This is the even stranger part. He was doing wind sprints in the alley behind the restaurant.
What?
At midnight. Yeah.
Okay. That's a detail I've not heard until this moment, and that even makes this more bizarre.
Right.
Wind sprints behind a bar in an alley at midnight. I think I've been there. I don't mean exactly in Indianapolis, but I think I might have been involved way back in the day in some sort of midnight drunken wind sprinting competition behind some sort of liquor establishment. I'm just saying.
A cornucopia of wind sprints and stabbing.
Well, no stabbing. But this, will this proceed before the parties are recovered? Or would it be more effective for the truck driver to appear still bloodied? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the next hearing is November 4th, I read, so it'll be fairly quick. But yeah, I mean, I expect that Sanchez will, you know, pay, you know, a substantial amount to make this whole thing go away and, you know, take some probation. I don't think, you know, they will pursue him criminally, although, you know, the DA did come out and say if you do a crime, maybe it was the police chief, he said, if you do a crime within, you know, our city, we're going to prosecute you no matter who you are. So, I wouldn't be surprised if they make an example out of him.
We're going to do more when we come back on 720 WGN. With John Landecker at 720 WGN, talking to Rich Lenkoff. And moving on now to Amazon agreeing to an historic $2.5 billion settlement over deceptive prime practices. I just got my, what was it, $32 and some odd cents. I'd have to check it again. Check from the Facebook settlement. And now there's this settlement. So, I mean, what was it? It's Bezos and Zuckerberg who are behind these two major organizations. What is the, why would Amazon agree to this? What did they allegedly do, or did they do?
Yeah, I mean, it's the largest settlement ever for deceptive subscription practices. And what that means in English is something that you and I and probably all of your listeners have had the misfortune of dealing with forever, is trying to cancel a subscription, right? Oh. It's very easy and tempting to sign up for subscriptions, in this case for Amazon Prime.
Right.
And it's very difficult to get out of them. Many companies make you literally jump through many hoops. Well, not literally, but figuratively jump through hoops to cancel. And sometimes you think you've canceled and you don't press that final button. And then you're dealing with, you know, months and months of monthly fees. So in this case, the Federal Trade Commission sued them under a deceptive trade practices theory. And they agreed to this historic settlement of which, I think half, almost half, was refunds, to your point. So $1.5 million was for refunds for people like you and I. And then the other billion was a penalty. And again, they agreed that they will stop making it so difficult to cancel subscriptions. They will make it easier. You know, it's a huge penalty in the, you know, bottom line for Amazon. It's really not that, you know, $2.4 billion is a lot, but for Amazon, it's not that much. But it definitely sends a signal to Amazon and the rest of the industry that the FTC will be very aggressive in their approach to these things.
You know, I've been an Amazon Prime member for a long years, and I've never attempted to cancel it because it provides so many different services. I mean, if you want to order a toothbrush, it'll be here in a couple of days. If you want to order a movie, you can watch, or you can go online on Amazon Prime and watch whatever you want to watch, as long as it's there. So I've never even thought about canceling it because I thought it was, quite frankly, worth what they were charging. And so apparently some other people didn't think that way. And even though I've never tried to cancel it, do all Amazon Prime members are going to get a tiny little piece of this pie?
Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, it will be tiny, of course, because
yeah,
how
right.
many subscribers there are. But again, you know, I think the bigger picture is that this sets a framework for the FTC on how to successfully go after companies that have these deceptive subscription models. Because, you know, Amazon Prime is probably the most, if not, you know, if it's not the most, it's one of the most successful subscription models in the world.
Sure.
The fact that the FTC is now for structural changes in addition to the fine is pretty important, you know. So I think other services will look at this and be concerned that they will be fined as well and probably self-regulate a little more.
As part of this article, there's a couple of things here. The ownership rights to digital content purchased on Prime Video. I've always wondered about that. Like, back in the day, you would go to, I don't know, a video store or whatever and buy your DVD or your Blu-ray, and you take it home and you own it. With current streaming practices, you quote-unquote buy a movie, but when I'm reading this, is there some question about whether or not you literally do own it or not?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty involved question. I mean, this dealt with it a little bit, but the allegation in this was that they have to change their enrollment and cancellation practices, and part of that decision was, you know, involving who owned the IP.
Wow.
That part is pretty involved. And this didn't sort of decide that in its entirety. And that's something that's bargained, of course, right? I mean, every streamer, you know, there's separate agreements as to who owns the content, and there's, you know, licensing agreements between different streamers. That's super involved. And this touches on that a little bit, but, you know, the main thrust was the subscription cancellation.
Right.
I did think I read to your earlier question that the refund to consumers would be $51. So not
all right.
You know, not the tiniest amount I've seen, but
hey,
you know, something.
We can go out to a movie.
Exactly.
So I read part of this article that consumers were enrolling Prime without their knowledge. How is that possible?
Right.
I don't get it.
I mean, the allegation was that they were advertising to people about Amazon Prime, and, you know, through a couple of clickbait articles, people would, you know, they would have people sign up without actually knowing they were signing up and knowing what they were, you know, being charged, or that they were getting what they thought were free trial subscriptions.
Gotcha.
That kicking in a lot quicker than people thought.
Yeah. So does this settlement, will that affect, you know, Amazon Prime isn't the only service you can subscribe to. I mean, we all know that. There's tons of them. Serve notice to every other service that has subscribers that, you know, they got to get their act together if they don't have it together already?
Yeah, I think for sure it does. I mean, this settlement only involves Amazon Prime. That
right.
was the only defendant. That was the only settling party. But as we talked about earlier, I think it signals, number one, an aggressive approach by the FTC to go after this particular type of deceptive practice. And number two, it shows that there is a framework, again, not only to impose a fine, but to force the companies to put in structural changes to avoid this in the future. So frequently you'll just see a fine. In this case, Amazon agreed to change how they sign up subscribers, which will be a model for other similar companies going forward.
You're not a technical person, but any idea as to how long it would be before these quote unquote changes are actually in effect?
I think every company, like as we speak, are reviewing their policies because, you know, $2.5 billion is nothing to sneeze at. So I think I think it was quite purposeful for the federal government to send a message, you know, to everyone that they've got to change this. It's ironic, though, because, I mean, remember, to your earlier point, you know, Bezos and Zuckerberg are big supporters of Trump. And there was a press release that this was a Trump-Vance victory, you know, for the American people. So,
well, yeah, I can see that.
Friends,
yeah.
Yeah. If these two close allies of Trump, you know, did this, then I think other companies are thinking, well, what are they going to do to me that I'm not, you know, I'm not even aligned with the administration. So
right.
I think it is sort of a shot across the bow for a lot of companies.
Well, you know,
practices.
I may or may not disagree with some of the things in this administration, but I think they've got a good point in this. I mean, you can't argue with the fact that they've made Amazon change and pay up and improve it for the consumer. I mean, there's no getting around that, I don't think.
That's true. And it's a very popular, you know, it's a very easily explainable and popular thing that you can run on or explain.
Well, we're almost out of time. Always great to talk to you, Rich. Thanks for coming on again, and I look forward to talking to you again.
It's always an honor. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet, Rich.